turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 11, and also the book of Luke, chapter 7. In Matthew, we'll read the first six verses, again in chapter 11. It came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he, John, sent two of his disciples, and said unto him, that is, unto Jesus, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. Then over in Luke's account, in Luke chapter 7, we'll read verses 17 through verse 23. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region round about. And the disciples of John showed him all of these things. And John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? When the men were come unto him, they said, John Baptist hath sent us unto thee, saying, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? And in that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus answering said unto them, go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. This, of course, is the accounts of Matthew and Luke concerning an event that transpired while John the Baptist was imprisoned. We read in Matthew 4 and verse 12, now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And in Mark 1 and verse 14, now when John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. In Matthew's account in Matthew 14 of the beheading of John the Baptist, we are told why he was in prison. Notice in Matthew 14, verse 3, for Herod had laid hold on John and bound him and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For John said unto him, it is not lawful for thee to have her. And for this reason, John was imprisoned. Now, prior to our text in Matthew 11 and Luke chapter 7, Jesus had been teaching. He had been preaching in the cities of Galilee. And then, right before the text, Jesus had healed the centurion's servant. He also raised from the dead the only son of a widow woman, the widow woman of Nain. And the news of these things spread and eventually reached the ears of John the Baptist by way of his disciples. We read in Matthew 11 and verse 2, now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ. And in Luke 7, verse 18, and the disciples of John showed him all of these things. So they had access to John the Baptist, and they begin to tell John all the things that are going on concerning Jesus Christ. With that news, we are told that John sent two of his disciples to Jesus with a question. Two questions. Art thou he that should come? Or should we, or look we for another? We see that in both Matthew and Luke's account. So, there's John the Baptist. He's in prison. He sends two of his disciples to Christ with this question. And it was a question that expresses doubt in the heart and in the mind of this great servant of God. We're going to speak tonight on encouragement from Christ in prisons of doubt. First of all, consider the circumstances of John the Baptist. Has a picture of our own lives. Before we consider circumstances, consider the person of John the Baptist. Because what we read here needs to be viewed in light of who he is. We read in Luke 1 verse 15 that John the Baptist was great, that he would be great in the sight of the Lord, that he would be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. Never are such statements made of anyone else in the Scriptures. Here was a man born filled with the Spirit from his mother's womb. We know that in his mother's womb, he leaped at the word of God. Leaped with joy. We read in John 1 in verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. So John would be great in the sight of the Lord. John was filled with the Holy Spirit. And John was sent from God. In verse 7 of John chapter 1, he came for a witness, to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. It was his distinct work to announce the Messiah and to prepare Israel for the coming Messiah. And he very faithfully discharged his commission. Notice what Christ said of the witness of John over in John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Again, this is Christ speaking of John. This isn't John speaking of John. This is Christ speaking of John. In John 5, verse 32, there is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. In verse 33, ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. In verse 35, he was a burning and a shining light, and you are willing for a season to rejoice in his light. He was a burning and shining light. Speaking of his witness of Christ. We read in Mark chapter 1 and verse 5 that all the land of Judah, or Judea, and all of Jerusalem went out to hear this one named John the Baptist. Jesus said of him in Luke chapter 7 verse 28 in our text, among them that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. That's quite a statement by Jesus Christ. And in Matthew 11, verse 9, Jesus added to that, or Matthew adds in his accounts, that he was more than a prophet. He was the greatest of all prophets, yea, more than a prophet. He was a man of great ability. He was a man who was greatly used in the Lord's work. In fact, there were those who thought that he was the Messiah. And John at any time could have had a huge following of people who actually believed that he was the Christ. He was a man of tremendous courage. He was a man of tremendous steadfastness. Remember, Jesus said, "What went ye out to see? A reed in the wind?" He was a man of great courage, a man of great steadfastness. But in our text, he's in prison. This great man of God is in prison. And that brings us to his circumstances. Prisons, of course, in that day basically were dingy, dark, perhaps rat-infested hole in the ground. Was a dungeon. And there in prison is this man of God. A man who had personally seen Jesus Christ. A man who had been with Christ. A man who had experienced the power of God in his life. A man that had surrendered his life to the Lord. Man who had been greatly used of God. And there he is in a dungeon. There he is in a prison. This is very significant because we live in a world of dungeons. We live in a world of prisons, empty places, all the isolated places, places that are upsetting, places that are disturbing, places of sadness and dejection, places of pessimism and fear, places of helplessness, very unsatisfying place. The world's filled with these places. And there's John the Baptist. He's in one of these dungeons. And eventually the hours turn into days. The days become weeks, and the weeks become months, and there he is in this prison. No doubt these were not circumstances that he would have chosen. I doubt that he ever expected to be in this position, but there he is. God's spokesman, the forerunner to the Messiah, a man who had lived his life doing the will of God. And there he is in his final days in what seems to be, humanly speaking, failure, embarrassment, and shame. The fact is, there would be no angel to rescue him, as with Peter. There would be no angel there would be no earthquake to free him, as happened with Paul and Silas. No, he would be beheaded. He would be beheaded at the hands of Herod. So there's John the Baptist. He's in a place, he's in a circumstance that he probably did not expect. He's in a place and circumstance that he would not have chosen. And God's people often find themselves in places and circumstances and situations that perhaps they never expected, that perhaps they certainly would not have chosen. The truth is, you may be faithful to the Lord, but things will not turn out. Things will not always turn out the way you wanted them to, the way you expected them to. You can raise your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, but things may not turn out as you hope for. You may make plans, and there may not be anything wrong with the plans that you make, but keep in mind that they may not turn out as you expected. We see, and that you hope for. We see this all through the Scriptures. So there's John the Baptist. Here's a man who lived a victorious life, lived upon the spiritual mountaintops, and it all teaches us that the victories and mountaintops of yesterday can be very short-lived, can change very quickly. Things may not turn out as you had hoped. There are going to be things you do not understand. Perhaps this was the case with John as he sat there in that prison. Perhaps he was perplexed as to why. Why did Christ leave him there? Why doesn't Christ do something to get me out of this prison? We don't know what went through his mind. But if he's anything like you and I, I'm sure those things went through his mind. There'll be things that perplex us. There'll be things that we cannot explain. There will be things that will not always add up. And certainly this was one of those cases with John the Baptist. We want to consider the question of John to Christ while John was in prison. Again, John the Baptist is a man, you have to keep in mind who he was. Here is a man who preached Jesus Christ. He was a man who pointed to Jesus Christ and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And when he did that, there was not a doubt in his mind that Christ was the Lamb of God. That Christ was the sent, the promised Messiah. He made very clear affirmation through his ministry of Christ. He was settled on who he was. Here is a man who had great assurance concerning Christ. Great confidence concerning the person of Christ. In fact, if we go over to John chapter 3, we see he's a man who rejoiced in Christ. Verse 29, "He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly." That's John the Baptist. "Because of the bridegroom's voice, this my joy therefore is fulfilled." Here is a man who had great confidence that this is the Christ. Here is a man who had great confidence. This is the bridegroom. And I am a friend of this one. And it rejoiced his heart. But now he's in prison. And from prison, by the grace of God, he hears of the wonderful and miraculous works of Christ going on in Galilee. His disciples let him know. And after John heard this, he sent two of his disciples unto Christ with a question. "Art thou he that should come? Or do we look for another?" He is asking Jesus, the one he had so clearly affirmed as the prophesied Messiah, Are you really the one that the Old Testament prophets had promised? Or should we be looking for someone else? He's asking a question that we do not expect John the Baptist to ask. I mean, you consider who he is, and you do not expect John the Baptist to ask this question. This is a question that expresses doubt. And when you consider the person who asked the question, it's a shocking question. So much so that most try to explain it away. You read most commentaries and they try to explain this away. Because I just can't believe that John the Baptist would doubt. They'll say, well, he was asking this question merely for the benefit of his disciples. But I believe that Christ's answer to the question reveals otherwise. Notice in Matthew 11, verse 4. Jesus answered and said unto them, the two disciples, go and show John again. Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. Notice in Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. Verse 22. Then Jesus answering said unto them, go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard. It is John's question, and it is John who receives the answer. Not the disciples, but John. Go and tell John again. John is in a position where he needs to be told again who Christ was, who Christ is. Again, he's an extraordinary man, a man of extraordinary courage, a man of extraordinary conviction, a man of extraordinary faith, a man who had a very clear understanding of the mission of Jesus Christ. Yet he asks a question that we do not expect him to ask. And I believe it is a question that reveals at this particular time this genuine, this strong and faithful believer. At this particular time, had some doubts about Christ. So here is John the Baptist, and what was so clear at one time became unclear. I believe there are valuable lessons here. This can happen to all of us. It does happen to all of us. We can be strong in faith, and then all of a sudden start to have doubts. We can be very clear. We can have a clear perception of some truth. And that very truth become unclear. So here is John the Baptist. It seems to me he has some doubts concerning the person and mission of Christ. And I believe all of this is to show that a genuine and a strong believer can have doubts concerning Christ. Anyone who would say, I have never, since I've been saved, I have never doubted, you're either a liar or you don't know what doubt is. One of the two. Doubt crosses our minds because we're weak. But there's some encouragement here. And what was so clear at one time concerning Christ became unclear. There have been men who preached and preached strongly. I believe that they believed what they preached, but perhaps don't now. There have been individuals, same thing. One time he had assurance and confidence in Christ, but don't ever forget that the strongest assurance and the strongest confidence in Christ can waver. We all waver from time to time. Don't be so quick to judge someone who's in a trial and they begin to ask questions that express doubt. Don't be so quick to condemn them. That's Job's friends. Just remember that the strongest assurance and confidence can waver. But make no mistake about it. Doubt is not some neutral thing. It is sin. It is sin for you and I to doubt. We read in Romans 14 and 23, "For whatsoever is not of faith is sin." That's pretty plain. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him." Doubt is sin. Doubt is a feeling of uncertainty. We've all been there. Child of God even has uncertainty at times about their salvation. And I believe that's by design. You need to examine. You need to examine. It is a lack of conviction. You know, you can make strong statements. Nothing wrong with that. We ought to make strong statements. Keep in mind, one day it might be tested. And what you were so certain of, you may start to doubt. We need to be aware of who we are. So here is John the Baptist. It seems to me he has a feeling of uncertainty concerning Christ. It's something that we've all done. It's something that we all do. And it's something that we will do again. But never is there a time when it's right to doubt God. Never. It's never right. It's always sin. Notice some encouragement in these circumstances and in John's condition. First of all, the prison walls could not shut out the news about Jesus Christ. John had heard in prison, Matthew 11, verse 2, the works of Christ. He had heard in prison how that Christ had healed the centurion's servant. He had heard in prison how Christ had raised the widow's son. There's a valuable lesson there. In all the places of emptiness, when it's difficult and when it's lonely and isolated and upsetting, in all the disturbing places, and in all the places of sadness and fear and pessimism, in all the places that are seemingly hopeless, Don't stop listening for word about Christ. Word about Christ can break through those prison walls at any time. And it's what you need to hear. That's the grace of God. John, while he was in that prison, I believe he had some doubts here. He inquired of and about Christ while he was in prison. When you and I are filled with wondering, why? When we're filled with questions and questions are arising in our heart, and we begin to have some doubts, inquire about Christ. Seek Christ. That's what John was doing here. To John's credit, he did not have them go ask someone else, "Are you the one?" But he inquired of Christ. No matter how many doubts you may have, never stop inquiring of Jesus Christ. You go to Him and you ask Him, because that's where your help will come from. And then notice how Christ answered John. Both Matthew and Luke record Christ's response to these two disciples. But notice what Luke says. He records something that Matthew doesn't. In Luke chapter 7, verse 20, the two come and they ask the question, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? And then notice what it says. And in that same hour, Matthew doesn't record that. In that same hour, right when they were asking the question, Jesus Christ cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits, and in the many that were blind, he gave sight. Right at the time when they were asking the question, Christ does these miracles. Why did he do that then? He did that for John. He did it for John, so that these disciples could go back again and tell John what they had seen. Now notice what Jesus told these two disciples, and Matthew and Luke both record this, but we'll stay in Luke's account here. Verse 22, then Jesus answering said unto them, after he had performed these additional miracles, they have already reported to John that Christ had healed the centurion's servant, that he had raised the son of a widow woman. They've already reported that, and that's what caused John to send two of his disciples to ask the question. And when these two get to Jesus and they ask the question, Jesus begins healing others. Then Jesus answering said unto them, go your way and tell John. Tell John. Show John what things ye have seen and heard. What things you just saw and heard. So I believe that Jesus healed these individuals for John. He healed them, those of their infirmities, for their benefit, no doubt, but he was for John's benefit. How that the blind see. Now both Matthew and Luke record this. You go and tell them. You go and tell John. How that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised, and the poor, to the poor, the gospel is preached. What's he doing? That's basically, he's referring to Isaiah chapter 35, verses 5 and 6, and Isaiah 61 in verse 1. So what's he doing? He is taking John to the Scriptures. He's taking John to the Scriptures, what the Scriptures had prophesied of Jesus Christ. And if you and I have doubts, and we go to Jesus with those doubts, and if you have doubts, the best one to go to is the Lord. He's the one you ought to go to. Don't let your doubts keep you from going to Him. You go to Him and you inquire. And what will He do? He'll direct you to His Word. And it is in His Word that Christ reveals Himself. Go and tell John the things ye have seen and heard. You see, when doubts arise in our hearts, what we stand in need of is an unveiling of Jesus Christ. That's what John stood in need of. And where is Christ unveiled? In the Scriptures. The worst thing to do is, when you have doubts, is to stop inquiring of God and to ignore the Word of God. Because those are your two resources that will cast away all doubt. So when doubts begin to arise in our hearts, go to the Word of God. Then notice, the question was, art thou he that should come? or do we look for another? And in response, Jesus showed himself to John by reminding him of the scripture, thus reminding him, John, there's no need to seek anyone else. I am he. And that cast away all doubts. And may I say that even when you and I have times when we doubt, if we would inquire of Christ, if we would seek him, you would hear him say, I am the one. I am the one you need. And you do not need to seek another. That's always so. So no matter how dark the prison may be, no matter how dreary, no matter how dry, no matter how difficult, no matter how upsetting and disturbing it may be, and no matter how lonely and isolated, no matter how difficult it is to understand, we don't need to look for anyone else. He's everything we need. And that we must believe. He is the one. We all are going to have times when we doubt. Hopefully you don't have too many of them. You ought to be concerned if you doubt more than you believe. But even the strongest have times when they have some doubt. Because you and I don't know what we might have to face, and we may have some doubts. Things can happen, and doubts just cross the mind. You may not even express them. But they just cross the mind when we ask, why? Why is this happening to me? Why would God do this? That's doubting. That's doubting his wisdom. Keep seeking God. The worst thing you can do is deny that you have doubt. The best thing you can do is take your doubts to God. And he unveils himself. And there isn't anyone who can cast away doubts like the Lord. Someone can come to us, to you and I, with their doubts, and we will take them to the Scriptures and try to encourage them and try to show them that they do not need to doubt in that area, but we can't do what God does. There's no one who can cast away doubt like the Lord. But I find it truly amazing, truly a wonderful thing, that Christ, when he answered these two disciples, reminded John of what the Scripture said of Christ. And that's how the Lord deals with us. That's how he still deals with us when we have doubts. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us a verse of song.